Well, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask your blessings, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear your words, Father. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be given, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. I talked a little this morning already about the golden rule, and I was just thinking how often the Bible refers to, or God refers whenever He's speaking to us, is how we treat others, that is how He will judge us. In Matthew, in verse 1 of this, it says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. And it says, for in the same way, verse 2, that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. This verse says, in everything, therefore, treat people the way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. And the very first verse of this, or second verse, very first and second, tells us that how we judge others is how we will be judged ourselves. And then another place, Jesus talks about that if we forgive, we will be forgiven. And if we will not forgive, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive you. And then just in the scriptures that we were in the Sunday school lesson this morning about that to remember the poor and God will remember you. And it's how we treat others is what it's all about. And this verse, it says, this last verse in verse 12, it says, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, people read the law and the prophets and they come up with all kinds of different things. Most of those things are just guidelines trying to teach us how to dwell with other people. All the laws in the world, purpose of those laws is to regulate people on how to live with someone else. And what happens is we put all those laws and we begin to live by these laws instead of what all the laws are hanging on: a relationship with someone else. A relationship with God is not going to be based on any commandments or any laws or any rules that we apply. It's based on a relationship. And I'm not talking about a fuzzy feeling relationship that people tell you, you know I have a relationship with Jesus because they spend some time in prayer and have this nice fuzzy feeling when they talk to Him. But a relationship is how we actually relate to each other and relate to one another. And when we have a relationship to God, It's because we're relating to people the way we relate. We would want to God to relate to us. It's a relationship. And how that means how we relate to others. And everywhere in the Bible, our relationship to other people is in direct correlation to our relationship to God. One place in the Bible it says, how can you say that you love God whom you cannot see when you hate your brother who you can see? There is no way to have a relationship to God that you cannot see and say that we love Him when we don't have a relationship with our brother. I realize there's times that there's difficult people, and there's times that we might not feel the best about someone else. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is when it comes all down to it. You know, sometimes we get upset with people. Sometimes we really don't like the way someone has done us. And that's real. Sometimes we really don't like the way we're being treated. And we just wish people would treat us different. And sometimes we just don't like it the way they do. But it's not that feeling we're going to be judged by. It's our reaction to that. What does it all boil down to? How do we react to how we're being treated? Whenever it comes right down to it, we forgive them. We know they're probably going to do it again. We're not going to change them, but we can forgive them. We can let that not change us. That's what the temptation is. That's what the test is. That God tries us in areas that He knows we're weak. And He gives us tests in areas where He knows that we need strengthened in. And so that whenever someone does us wrong, we have to prove ourselves. We have to rise up to do it the way He would want us to do it. This saying, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you would want them to treat you. Is that what guards our life? Whenever we just see someone on the street, whenever we see someone in need, whatever we're doing in life, does our perception have anything to do with the other person? Or are we so self-centered and so self-aware of no one else but ourselves? Or does our world include what are my actions? How are my actions going to affect someone else? That's whenever things get real. You know, we like it when someone waves at us. Just an example. But whenever you wave at someone and they don't wave back, just for an example, what is that? Well, that just, what's the matter with them? That's what we think about. That's just an example. But just living our lives in a friendly manner is the way we like people to live our live. That's what we like. That doesn't mean we don't. Most of us don't want someone just going around doing everything for us. You know, a lazy or a worthless person thinks that the whole world owes them everything. And they just want someone to take care of them. And they just want someone to look out for me. That's not what he's talking about. That's a worthless thing to do. And that's not what he's talking about, to treat others the way we would want to be treated. He's not saying this from a very selfish standpoint. He's saying from a holy and a godly standpoint, treat others the way you, a godly person, would want to be treated. He's not saying that you should treat everybody, if someone, you think everybody owes you something, that everybody ought to just pamper you and take care of you and babysit you and do everything for you. That's selfish, and that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about from a holy perspective, a man perspective, a godly perspective, that you should treat others the way a godly man would want himself treated. The ungodly, all they want is candy, just treated, just taken care of, just pampered. That's not, you know, a lot of people use that verse that way. Well, you ought to treat me the way I want to be treated. Well, I just want everybody to do everything for me. I don't want anybody, I want everybody just to, the whole world revolve around me. And that's not what he's talking about. So when we think about something, we think, well, I'd want somebody to bail me out or help me out here or just do something for me. That's not what he's talking about. What he wants us to do is to treat people the way on a plane, on a level, a good, godly, upstanding level, that we would, how that, that's how we would want to be treated. We just want people, a godly man wants to be able to follow the Lord and do his own thing, take care of his own business, and do what he needs to do, and get along with people. And just be able to help others along the way that do need help. That if we were really in need, if we really needed something, and we just need a helping hand once in a while, that we just wish someone would help us, that's where we ought to be looking out for others. Not just a free handout or not just taking care of everything, but to build people up. To build people up, to give them a strong hand up instead of just piling on to things that are keeping them down. And I think that's what it meant a lot in the lesson this morning whenever it was talking about that you shower blessings on a rich man's grave, but don't give to a sinner. Don't just pile on something that's going to make it worse for him. But you can give to a godly man. You can give to a righteous man. And it doesn't hurt him. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. The Bible talks about how we give to people. And how that don't lay up your treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven. And whenever we think about that, let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Verse 41. And he sat down, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury. And he began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. It's interesting here. The Lord sat down opposite of the treasury and he observed. He just sat there and watched people for a while. And it's just neat that the Lord just took the time just to observe. And it's a good example for us. We've been talking about wisdom. Just to sit back opposite something and observe it for a while. We're so busy and so in such a hurry that we don't take time just to observe things. And this is a way that you learn wisdom, is the boys talked about just being still, being learning. The old saying is that children should be seen and not heard. And that's, they should be sitting there with their ears open until, like Brother Marcus brought out, until they're spoken to. And then realize, give enough respect to the person that if they've asked you a question, they want to know an answer. Not just sit there all bashful acting. But whenever someone wants to know something, an older person asks you a question, answer them. They deserve. They've asked you a question. And until they ask, keep your mouth shut. Just a little more observation on that is young people just showing respect for their elders. I really appreciate that. You know, it isn't up to the young person to walk up to an older person and shake their hands and expect them to start greeting you. Wait for the older person to make that. Step back and respect and let the older person lead things. Let them take care of that. But whenever you just are bold and just walk right up to an old person and expect them to bow down to you, that's what you're doing. You're forcing the older person to do your way and listen to your way. But whenever you're the older person, let them make the initiative to reach out to you, to ask you something. And then you respond the way you're supposed to, instead of the other way around. But oftentimes we just have everything so backwards. The young person just always ready to give their 2 cents, always wanting to make sure everybody knows they know something. And they're wanting to be the one, they're recognized, and they want to be up there just grabbing your hand and making sure everybody greets you. Let the older people do that. Anyway, a little sidetrack there. He sat down and observed how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. The poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and she had to live on." We think about this and how often we observe the people that put in the great amounts. That's what we see. This is talking a little about Jesus' observation. Everybody else sitting here would be watching and, "Oh wow, he put in that much. That's a lot. He really gave this much." That's what the rich people have always done. They did it back then. They do it now. They give a lot. But it's of their surplus. It's just stuff they really don't need anyway. And I think that's what whenever we're in Tobiah, we're referring a lot to it, to the lesson it talked about, and not giving with envy. Giving your alms, not with envy, of how much you could have kept, or how much you don't want to dig in to what it might cost you. And I think that's where that envy might come in. You know, if we can give of our surplus, we can just give what's left over. We can just give, well, that's no problem. But whenever we get envious is whenever it's going to start costing us a little bit. But that's when your treasure is being laid up in heaven. Given a surplus, given extra, given stuff that we don't need, there's no value at all in that. None. I mean, if I'm just going to give away something that I would just give away in the first place, we're not really laying up anything. But whenever this widow, gave everything that she had, it cost her a little bit of something to give. It hurt just a little bit for her to give. Jesus observed, she gave more than all of them. She put more in than all of them combined, because all that they put in is just of their abundance. That's when we're laying up treasures in heaven. That's when we're doing unto others anybody can give something they don't need. Cross Lines is just packed full of stuff. The local thrift store full of stuff. People donating to them. After they've had a garage sale, after they've gone through and sorted out everything, and after this is all just their junk that no one would even buy at a garage sale, and they donate it. And they think they've really donated something. And they have just a sense of, I've given something away. And it is nothing but their leftover junk that no one would even buy at a garage sale for pennies on the dollar. Just giving that as an example of our giving and our doing alms is not really doing anything until it's cost us a little bit of something. Because all it is just giving away surplus. I mean, when you've got something running out of your ears, you've just got cans and cans and cans of soup, and you've got soup laid up, you've got stuff canned, and you've just got piles of it. You got more than you're going to be able to eat in a year, and you give away some of it. Have you really given away anything? No. You've just given surplus. And it's the same way with money. We live in a prosperous time. We live in a time that's unheard of to have food piled up the way we do. But whenever it gets right down to it, whenever I have very little and someone else has less than I, and I can give that away, and I can give my part away, that's whenever it really counts. That's doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Giving somebody away your surplus because you got more than you, that doesn't mean anything. You've not done unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You're just taking a bunch of surplus and giving them. And surplus is just that. It's just something that is over and above and not needed. It ain't even yours. That's what I think Jesus is trying to teach us and talk about here. That the things that are above what you need to survive are just pure old surplus. They just don't really count for anything. That's why riches mean nothing. That's why they're worthless. Because they're more than you need. It's just a surplus. That's just another area. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Yeah, if you got surplus, at least do something good with it. At least give that away. But what it really counts is whenever it's costing us something. When it really counts is whenever you're giving of yourself. And almsgiving is not just throwing money at something. It's giving yourself to something. There's all kinds of people who have needs that have a lot of money. But they need help. They need a friend. They need someone that'll give themselves, that'll give them time. Anyway, I think I do want to just go back here to Tobiah. There's a lot in this. Chapter 4. (Clears throat) Let's just verse 6 here. It says, "For if you walk in the truth, you will be successful in your works. Do almsgiving from your possessions to all who are righteous. When you do almsgiving, do not let your eye be envious. Do not turn your face away from any poor man, so the face of God will be turned away from you." Here's another example of how we treat others, God will treat us. We are poor men when it comes down to it. We are poor men. We have nothing to offer God. We often think that because we've obeyed the Lord and we've made choices, that we've done something meritorious, or we've done something valiant because we've obeyed the Lord. But we're still just poor men. We are helpless in this world. If God would take His hand off of us, Satan would devour us before we could take the next breath. We would be destroyed. We have nothing. We have no strength. We have no power of our own in this world. You know, the debate about free will. God has given us a free will. God has given us the power of choice. But there's no merit in choosing right. It's what we ought to be doing. It is just a safety. Choosing right is the only path that there is any hope of deliverance on. We are in danger. We are lost. We are needy. We are poor. Spiritually, we're bankrupt. And all we have is the opportunity to make right choices. And so that God can have pity upon us and have mercy upon us and give us a helping hand. And the direct correlation is when we see someone in a physical state or spiritual, either way, that's bankrupt, that's poor and needy, and we turn our back on them, we turn away from them, we leave them without help, God will do the same to us. The point I'm trying to make . Quit looking at yourself. Treat others the way they should be treated as a human being. Not just treat others how they want treated. That's what we were talking about earlier. But treat them how they should be treated. How that you should be treated. Treat others the way you would need treated yourself. Think about others. Get outside of ourselves. If you just watch someone, if you observe someone, people are so self-centered. They think the world revolves around them. And every thought that they have, our own thoughts, we're concerned about ourselves. We think we're worried about what somebody might be saying about us because we think they're sitting there thinking about us. But you know what? They're sitting there thinking about themselves. Thinking about what you're thinking about them. And nobody thinks that way. Everybody's sitting there thinking about themselves. They're worried about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do, and they don't look out far enough to see anybody else. That's what he's trying to get our attention with. That's what he's trying to say when he says the whole law hangs on all of this. Treat others, think about others the way you would think about yourself. Look out for someone else's problems the way you would look out for your own. Get your mind off of you and start thinking about somebody else. That's where the whole heart of this is at. That's where the whole thing is. The whole thing lays on that. You live in your life. Everybody's in their own little world, thinking about themselves. But Jesus is teaching us, quit thinking about yourself and start considering the people you meet, the people you're with, the people you're around. Think about what they would need instead of yourself. This verse, do not turn your face away from any poor man, for the face of God will be turned away from you. Do almsgiving based on the quantity of your possessions. If you only possess a few, do not be afraid to give according to the little that you have. This is abuse, but you cannot outgive God. This is one area in my life that God has always been there. You are storing up good treasure for yourself in the day of necessity. You're storing up good treasure for yourself in the day of necessity. The day that we're going to need gifts, the day that we're going to need mercy, the day that we're going to need help, is when we stand before the Lord. And we're laying up treasures for that. For almsgiving delivers us from death and prevents us from entering into the darkness. Getting out of yourself. The law and the prophets, he's talking about, we can build a law on just giving things away, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, we can make some rules up right here about, oh, if I give, I'll save myself. Miss the whole thing. You lose yourself. You do unto others. That's what's going to save you, not keeping this rule. Prevents us from entering into the darkness. I'm going to give away so I don't go in the dark. No. You walk in the light. And you see other people. You get beyond yourself. And the light will be there. That's where the light is. Indeed, almsgiving is a good gift for all who do it before the Most High. Like I said, we can take this. This is the law and the prophets here. And we just make sure we give our alms. And we do our good deeds. And we do all those things. And we can make a law out of it. And just look just wonderfully like we're the biggest givers there are. And Jesus sat there and watched them give of their abundance. And he said, here's one. She gave her all. She gave everything. Even her own living. Because she was seeing more past herself and looking at others. Do unto others. The golden rule. They call it the golden rule because gold is precious. It's valuable. And Jesus said, this is what hangs. This is all of the law and prophets are trying to teach you this one thing. Get over yourself. And think about others. When we pray, we just pray for God fix this, God fix that, make me better, oh help me, help me. Think of others. Think of others. There's people that have real problems. Used to tell a fellow that he worried about being lonely. He's just lonely all the time. And I said, well, get in your car and visit somebody that really is lonely and you'll get over it. You got a problem with, oh, yeah, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Well, go find somebody that's really got a problem. And you'll find that you forget about yours. You don't have time for your own problems because there's a lot more people out there with a lot worse problems than you've got. But we'll just give of our abundance, think we're good. We'll keep the law and the prophets, think that we got it all covered. But all it is just our surplus. We're just giving God what's left over. We're just giving Him the leftovers. The leftovers of life. Most of us don't really appreciate leftovers. What I couldn't eat is left over, so I'll give that away. And that's all we're giving to God. That's all we're giving to anybody else. Just the leftovers. Anyway, the Lord bless y'all. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
believe.